Good morning, church. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Can I ask Chris, our youth worker, to make a short intimation?
Happy Father's Day, everyone. I just want a quick announcement about Saturday. We have almost filled up a rota. Congratulations. There's only 5 spots remaining. This is to help provide some support, some juice, some tea and coffee and some sun cream, because it's going to be sunny, isn't it? Yeah? We're having all the bad weather this weekend, so it's going to be sunny next weekend, I pray. And I just need some 5 more willing people to come help serve for an hour just outside. The roles are, you are going to be serving some tea, coffee or juice. Our kitchen team, who are going to wash the dishes or cups and all this kind of stuff. And a runner, which you're going to walk between the kitchen and the welfare tent, which is just inside the garden. So come speak to me at the end of the service so we can get this filled out and get it posted and sent to everyone. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. On behalf of our dear congregation and the good people of Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland, I would like to welcome all of you to this service. Welcome to those who are worshiping with us for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. Welcome also to our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom, and those who are faithful to listening to our worship services online afterwards. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 32, the verses 1 to 7. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we come before you this morning with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. We thank you for the rest of the night and the light of this new day, a gift from your boundless grace. As we gather in worship and thanksgiving, we are reminded of your love and the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. We thank you for the beauty of the summer days, the warmth of the sun, and the joy of fellowship within your household. Your creation sings of your glory, and we join in that eternal chorus of praise. Merciful God, we acknowledge that we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess that we have not always followed your ways or kept your commandments. We have sometimes strayed like the prodigal son, seeking our own path rather than yours. In our thoughts, words, and deeds, we have not always reflected your love and grace. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins and trespasses. Forgive us for the times we have harbored resentment, acted selfishly, or neglected the needs of others. Wash us clean and renew our spirits within with your Holy Spirit. Help us to turn away from sin and return to you, our loving Father, with hearts full of repentance and of faith. Guide us, Lord, to live each day in the light of your truth and love, spreading your message of hope and redemption to all we encounter, and strengthen us to be reflections of your grace in this world. And now, as Jesus taught us, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling. It's our next hymn. The words are printed on the order of service. Thank you. morning, children. There are so many of you this morning. How nice to see so many children. How are we today? How are we today?
Good.
Wow. So nice to hear you are all good. How is the weather today? We are good, but the weather is bad. But we can manage that. So we begin again with a few questions. I have three of them this morning as we introduce ourselves to today's children's address. And the first question I want to ask you is, have you ever lost something so special to you and then found it again? Have you ever lost something so special to you and then found it again? I'm used to losing things. So if I start telling you the number of things I've lost, we will stay in this church for the next 5 hours. But have you ever lost anything and then found it again? Something really precious to you? Anyone wants to share? Can you remember? Yes?
I lost my piggy.
You lost your
piggy?
Piggy.
He's very soft.
Oh, you lost your piggy. And you found it again? You never found it? Oh. No. She's insisting that she never found it. Yes, Mikaela? You what?
I had a new Playmobil set
on the beach.
And I found it on the way back.
You found it on the way back. How did you feel when you found it? You felt very good. Now, it's a beautiful thing, especially those things that are so precious to us. When we lose them and then we are able to find them again, it's a wonderful experience. Now, the second question, do you think that dad or mom or granddad or grandmom or our parents will stop loving us if we did something bad?
No.
No. That's a very good answer. They will never stop loving us, which means that our parents, grandparents, or whoever are very kind people. Even if we do something wrong or bad, they will still love us because they want us to change. And it is not good to deliberately do something that is not good, thinking that our parents will always love us. Okay? We have to do right. And the last question is, have you ever been kind of upset when someone else got something nice and you didn't? Have you ever been upset when someone else, maybe your brother or your sister or your cousin, got something nice and you didn't? Let us be honest. I have been sometimes. Have you ever been upset? Somebody got something and you thought, that should have come to me. Certainly many of us have. There is a story in the Bible about a man who had two sons. And one of them came to him and said, "Dad, I know you have so many things that you have stored up. Call it an estate. Can you give me my own share of your estate so that I can enjoy it now?" It was like saying to the father, "I wished you were dead. Just give me my own portion." And the father, even though he was not happy, he decided to give him his own portion of the estate. What did he do? Yes, he did. Ooh, not so nice. So he took his own part of the estate and went away to a far country and decided to squander it. He bought maybe drinks, just spent the money anyhow, and it got finished. Then he started struggling to survive. He ended up serving in a pig farm, feeding pigs, and even looking forward to eating food that was not for human beings, but for pigs. That is how desperate he became. And then he remembered that his father had still had plenty. So he said to himself, I will go back to my father so that I can go back to a better life. When he came back, the father did not send him away. He opened his arms and embraced him and kissed him and threw a party for him. But his elder brother, who was still with the father, was not happy. He was angry at the father that the father had not given a party in his honor, even when he had been such an obedient child. And the father said to him, your brother was lost and now is found. He was dead, but now he is alive. But you have always been with me, and everything I have belongs to you. There are a few lessons we can learn from this short story. The first one is that we should be good children. Yeah. Listening to our parents and not wanting to go our own way. Like this boy, many of us want to say that we want to do whatever we like. We don't want to listen to our parents. When they say, don't do this, we do exactly what they tell us not to do. And when they say, do this, we don't do it. We have to be obedient children. But another lesson is that sometimes we do things not because we want to do them. There are mistakes that we do. And if we do something not deliberately, if it's a mistake, we don't need to be afraid. Let us be honest, because our parents will never send us away. They are always willing still to embrace us and to tell us that they love us. So let us not be shy to confess if we have done something wrong. For example, a glass can fall from your hands and get broken. Instead of hiding it, just own up and say, I did it. Our parents will still love us. And another lesson is that we should not be jealous. If a good thing comes to our brother or to our sister, we should be happy. We should not be like the older brother who was angry that the father was showing love to the brother who had been lost. And the final thing is that God really loves us, and he loves us the way we are. Whatever we do, God is still willing to accept us if we are able or we are willing to repent and to confess the things that we've done wrong. So let us be good children, let us be loving children, and let us trust that God always loves us just as our parents love us. Let us pray. Father, we pray for our children as they grew. And we ask, O God, that you will continue to bless them with wisdom, that even when they falter, they should be willing, O Father, to come back, to confess, and to be the good children that they need to be. Open their hearts to your word, O Father, and bless us, the parents, to continue to lead them in the way they should go and never depart from it. For in your name we pray. Amen. I esteem all things bright and beautiful.
This morning's first reading is from the Old Testament, from Judges chapter 10, verses 6 to 16, and then chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. And you can find this on pages 254 to 57 on the Pew Bibles, or follow on the overhead. Judges 10. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Ashereths and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan in Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. Israel was in great distress. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." The Lord replied, "When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried to me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble." But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Then they got rid of the foreign gods amongst them and served the Lord, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. Judges 14, verses 1 to 7. Samson's marriage. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, "I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." His father and mother replied, "Isn't there an acceptable woman amongst your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me. She's the right one for me." His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. Our New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32, and you can find this on page 1049 on the Pew Bibles or on the overhead. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants."' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, 'I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has been back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. And may God add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. And we will continue our worship with our next hymn, 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we open our hearts and minds to your word today, we seek your illumination. Shine your light upon us so that we may see the truths within the scriptures clearly. Help us to understand the depths of your love and the boundless nature of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to reflect with you this morning on the theme Lost and Found, the boundless grace and unfailing love of God. Lost and found, the boundless grace and unfailing love of Christ. At some point, we have all experienced the anxiety of losing something valuable. Perhaps you are exceptionally careful and rarely lose things, but for many, this is a familiar and stressful scenario. Recently, I thought I had lost my traveling passport after a trip to London. Normally, I leave it on my study desk for easy access, as my biometric residence permit card is also tucked inside. Preparing for another journey, I searched my desk and couldn't find the passport. Panic set in, and I scoured my office and room, nearly calling a family meeting to launch a full search. Convinced I had left it at the London airport, I went online to report the missing items, filled out forms, and made calls. When the lost and found office confirmed they had no trace of my passport, I resigned myself to the fact that it was gone. I started looking up the cost and time required to get a new passport and a BRP card, discovering it would take at least 6 months to replace them. In the midst of my distress, a thought struck me. Why not check all the jackets I wore on the trip? To my immense relief, there it was, my passport and BRP card safely nestled in one of my pockets. The joy and relief I felt were overwhelming, sparing me the ordeal of reapplying for these critical documents. This personal story underscores a universal experience, the sinking feeling of losing something important and the profound relief of finding it again. It mirrors a broader reality captured by a modern solution, a global website called Lost and Found, where people can report lost items and search for found ones. Despite this technological aid, the website's data reveals that in the United States of America, people report losing items at twice the rate they find them, illustrating how common and deeply resonant this experience is. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, losing something valuable can evoke a range of emotions: disappointment, heartbreak, hopelessness, or simple frustration. It is a universal feeling that connects us all, setting the stage for a deeper exploration of loss and redemption in the parable of the prodigal son. This story from the Gospel of Luke speaks to our experiences of being lost and found, reminding us of the boundless grace and love that awaits us, no matter how far we have strayed. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the prodigal son, which echoes this theme of loss and of recovery. The parable begins with a man who has two sons. The younger son, driven by impatience and a desire for independence, asks his father for his share of the estate. In essence, he is saying, "Father, I wish you were dead so I could have my inheritance now. This request was not only audacious, but also deeply hurtful. Despite this, the father grants his request. In verse 13 of our text, we see the younger son gathering all he had and journeying to a distant country where he squanders his wealth in wild living. His actions lead him to a place of desperation and destitution. A severe famine strikes, and he finds himself feeding pigs, longing to eat their food. This is a picture of the consequences of living apart from God's will, a life of spiritual famine and unfulfilled desires. In verses 17 to 19, the younger son experiences a moment of clarity. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" This moment of realization is crucial. It represents repentance, a turning away from sin and a return to the Father. The boy acknowledges his unworthiness and is ready to accept the status of a servant. It is a powerful reminder for us all, no matter how far we have strayed, repentance is the first step towards reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. As the Son approaches, we witness one of the most moving scenes in Scripture. Verse 20 tells us, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." The father's response is nothing short of extraordinary. He runs to his son, a gesture of undignified love and eagerness. He embraces him and restores him, not as a servant, but as a beloved son. He orders the best robe, a ring, and sandals for him, and calls for a celebratory feast. This is a depiction of God's grace. Our Heavenly Father is always ready to welcome us back with open arms, no matter how far we have fallen. But this parable also addresses the older son, who reacts with anger and jealousy when he learns of the celebration for his brother's return. In verses 28 to 30, he confronts his father, expressing his frustration at the perceived injustice. "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends." The older son's attitude highlights a different kind of lostness, one rooted in self-righteousness and lack of compassion. He fails to understand his father's heart, which is full of mercy and grace. The father's response in verses 31 to 32 is gentle yet profound. "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Dear friends, the parable of the prodigal son is a story of sin, repentance, and the boundless grace of God. Whether we see ourselves in the rebellious younger son or the resentful older son, the core message remains unchanged. God's love is infinite, and his grace is accessible to all who seek him. The story reassures us that unlike lost items that may never be recovered, we are never beyond redemption. God's love ensures that we are always sought after, always cherished, and never abandoned, no matter our shortcomings. Ralph Milton shares a story about a teacher who once asked her students, "If all the bad children were painted red and all the good children were painted green, which color would you be?" It is a challenging question because it forces a choice between two absolutes. Imagine what your answer would be, red or green. It is tough to categorize ourselves so simply. But one wise child gave an insightful answer, striped. And this response perfectly captures the essence of our human condition. In the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus Christ illustrates this beautifully. In the story, everyone except Jesus is striped, embodying both lost and found aspects. Similarly, in our world today, we are all a mixture of good and bad, and of lost and found. We are not entirely one thing or another. We are a blend. It is rare for us to be completely lost or completely found. There is always a part of us striving towards the light and another part that still needs guidance and redemption. And this view of our nature is comforting. It acknowledges that we are always growing, always changing. And crucially, it highlights that God's grace meets us exactly where we are in our striped state. God's love and care are not reserved for the perfect, but abundantly available to all of us in our imperfections. God desires for us to step fully into the light, to be whole and blessed. Just as a shepherd cares deeply for every sheep and a poor widow values every coin, God cherishes every part of us. This love and dedication encourages us to continue moving towards the light, knowing that we are supported every step of the way. Let us take comfort in our stripes, knowing that God's grace is ever present, guiding us towards completeness and wholeness. As we reflect on this parable, let us take a moment in our prayers this week to express our gratitude for this unwavering love. It is a comforting reminder that no matter how lost we might feel, we are never beyond God's reach. May God bless us. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Faithful and ever-living Father, we give you thanks because you've spoken to us in the message of your holy word. Help us to remember that we are never lost, because when we turn back to you, you are willing to open your arms and to embrace us and to give us a place in your kingdom. May this truth accompany us all the days of our life. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hymn 555. Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering on ourselves and let us intercede. Gracious and loving God, we dedicate our offerings to you, acknowledging that everything we have comes from your hand. Thank you for your abundant blessings and the many ways you provide for our needs. As we present these gifts, we ask for your blessing upon them. May they be used wisely and faithfully to further your kingdom and spread your love to those in need. Guide the hands that will use these resources so that they may bring hope, comfort, and transformation to our community and beyond. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service of today and the joy we have encountered in your presence. We are grateful for the lessons we have learned and the truths revealed through the sermon. Help us to remember these lessons and live out these truths in our daily lives, shining your light in all we do. We pray for those who have strayed from their faith or family. Help them recognize their need for repentance and seek forgiveness. Grant us all hearts of repentance, acknowledging our wrongdoings and seeking to make amends. We lift up families experiencing division or conflict. May they find reconciliation and peace in your love. Give strength, wisdom, and unconditional love to parents dealing with rebellious or wayward children, guiding them back to the family fold. Help us embody the Father's unconditional love and compassion towards others, especially those who have wronged us. Increase love and understanding in our communities, fostering environments of forgiveness and acceptance. Lord, we pray for those who feel lost, hopeless, or in despair. May they find their way back to your loving embrace. We also pray for those struggling with addiction or poor life choices, that they may have the courage to change and seek help. Grant us humility to recognize our own need for your grace. Help us to avoid self-righteousness and to extend forgiveness to others, understanding that everyone makes mistakes and needs your mercy. May we celebrate the return of those who have been lost, just as the Father celebrated the return of his Son. Fill our hearts with joy and gratitude for your boundless grace and the redemption we receive through Christ. Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world and all your faithful people. Strengthen us in our faith and help us to be a beacon of hope and love in our communities. Guide our leaders and bless our ministries as we work to spread your gospel and serve those in need. Father, we lift up the world to you, especially the United Kingdom as we approach forthcoming elections. Grant us wisdom and discernment as we vote, selecting leaders who will govern with compassion and care for all people. We pray for the war-torn regions of the Middle East, Ukraine, and Anglophone Cameroon. Lord, bring an end to these conflicts and restore peace to these troubled areas. Comfort those who suffer and bring healing and reconciliation where there is division. We pray for the sick, the sad, the wounded, and those who are weary. Lord, bind up the brokenhearted and bring comfort to those who mourn. We especially remember those who have been hurt in love, that they may find healing and peace in your embrace. Grant eternal rest to those who have gone to be with you and comfort their families and friends in their grief. We bring all these prayers to you, trusting in your infinite love and mercy. Amen. If you are able and willing, please stand and together let us affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close singing 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness. In peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.